You're listening to Marty in the Morning on 96 to 99 RTE Lyric FM.
Now, just to remind you again, Singing in the Rain screening. It's a screening of the movie with a live orchestra, RTE Concert Orchestra. Neil Thompson conducting, introduced by Patricia Ward Kelly. It's on tomorrow at the National Concert Hall at 3 in the afternoon and at 8 o'clock. But first, Dr. Kelly.
Oh, Adam, to be in love is to be alive. Jerry and I, we are so lucky. Eh, Jerry?
Adam is right. There's nothing like it.
C'est formidable.
C'est magnifique.
Ha!
It's wonderful. It's marvelous, she should care for me. Soft lies, it's paradise, it's what I love to see. She should care for me. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
Marvelous.
She should care for me. It's awful nice.
It's awful nice.
It's paradise.
It's paradise.
What I love to see.
What I seek,
elegance,
what I want,
self-control,
from head to toes,
wonderful,
marvelous, that she should care for me.
That's wonderful there. Just to hear it was just fantastic. Now, the reason I mentioned that is because there is an event on Saturday, and that, of course, being tomorrow at the National Concert Hall. It's 3 in the afternoon, it's 8 in the evening, and it's the MGM classic, Singing in the Rain, but it's with a full orchestra, and in the company, and introduced by Patricia Ward Kelly, the wife of the late genius that was Gene Kelly. You're very welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is just a delight to be here.
You like this, don't you?
I love this.
You like this. You eat, sleep and drink Gene Kelly pretty much, don't you?
Well, it's not a bad diet, I would say.
Oh, look at you. But it is a bit like that, isn't it? Because
it is.
He is a constant in your life. You, of course, were his wife when he passed away. And it is hard to believe that he's gone as long as he is.
He's been gone 17 years, and it is hard to believe. And I'd say maybe five, maybe three. Sometimes it seems like yesterday. But I think because he's so present, he's so current and contemporary. So I don't think people think of him as gone.
No, and of course, when you think about the body of work and the amount of films that exist, therefore, he is always available somewhere. It's that thing where they say somewhere in the world there's somebody playing a Sinatra song. Well, Gene Kelly, in terms of movies, is there somewhere.
Well, I think that, and also because he's been such a constant influence on so many young people, and that dancers, choreographers, magicians, writers, and it's just goes on and on.
Did you really not know who he was. How could you not know? When you met, I'm talking about.
I did not know who Gene Kelly was.
Wow.
I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. I know. I was I was a very nerdy academic and didn't go to the movies, and we didn't have videotapes then. I think it was the right way to meet him, honestly, because I wasn't knocked out by him.
Right.
And my pet study in graduate school was poetry and word origins, and those were Gene's pet studies. So we met, and I fell in love with his language. I fell in love with his use of words. And interestingly, over Yeats' poetry, we both bonded over the Lake Isle of Innisfree.
He had a favorite, didn't he?
He loved Yeats.
Yes.
And all the romantic poets.
Well, he was quite, we can talk about his Irish heritage because he was quite taken with his Irish heritage back in Derry, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he never was quite sure. He often said it was County Clare, but it was very mysterious. It was all cloaked in mystery because it was, at that time in the U.S., the Irish were not considered the top of the heap, and his mother was trying to kind of project them out of that. But Gene really felt it was part of his heritage, and the mysticism and the background for the Irish was a deep part of him.
And with a name like Kelly, how is he going to escape it? Let's be honest, there was no way around that one.
Well, I heard Owen O'Kelly, I guess, so it doesn't get more Irish than
that.
No, it does not.
You don't have Irish roots, or do you?
I do have some back there. I think we all do, don't we, really?
Well, we'd like to think that. Be handy. This is why we have this gathering coming up. It's an event to bring people back and to spend as much money as possible when they're here.
That's great.
It is a great idea. I agree with you. It's a fantastic idea. I'm very much in favour of it. How did you meet?
I wrote a television special and he was the host narrator, and it was supposed to be Gregory Peck originally, and then they substituted Gene and brought me in as a writer. And as I say, I didn't have a clue who he was, so we sat in this room together and played word games and quoted poetry back and forth. And he was such an erudite gentleman and also a Pittsburgh street kid, so it was this wonderful, magical mix.
And is it true that you spent nearly a week together and having conversations and getting to know each other and all of this?
It's all true. I cannot believe it now looking back. I mean, how did I miss such a major part of the 20th century?
For sure.
It's true. And he called me about 6 months later and asked me to come out to California to write his memoirs with him. And I came out thinking...
Oh, that old line. Was
yeah.
It? Yeah. Come on, write my memoirs.
Well, and I was only supposed to come for about 2 weeks, and we got married 5 years into it.
That's amazing.
I recorded him almost every day for over a decade.
I read that, and I think that's a fascinating thing. So you have all that?
I do.
Is it possible to knit that together to make something, that you could issue, that you could release in some way? No, probably.
Well,
not.
It'll be two things. Actually, I've been doing a one-woman show around the world, and I'd love to bring that to Dublin.
And do you play clips of Gene Kelly?
It's clips, and it's rare audio of him. He used to sing to me at night, and so it's Gene singing, and it's real unusual memorabilia and things that I inherited. And then these extraordinary stories of the man, really the man, the dimensions that people don't really know about. So I'll bring that to Dublin, and we'll have another gathering here.
Good for you. I like the sound of that. Let's get a track from Singing in the Rain in. Moses Supposes?
Yeah, that would be fun. That was his favourite tap number.
Was it really?
That was the best thing he ever did on film.
Let's hear it then. Moses Supposes from Singing in the Rain.
Moses supposes his toeses are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously.
But Moses, he noses, his toeses aren't roses,
as Moses supposes his toeses to be.
Moses supposes his toeses are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously.
A mose is a mose.
A rose is a rose.
A toes is a toes. Hoop-de-doody-doodle.
Moses supposes his toeses are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously.
For Moses, he noses, his toeses aren't roses. Roses, as Moses supposes his toeses to be.
Moses supposes his toeses are roses,
Moses.
But Moses supposes erroneously.
Moses.
For Moses noses his toeses are roses, but Moses supposes his toeses to be.
Roses, 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 but Moses supposes his toeses couldn't be a lily or a taffy daffy dilly. It's gotta be a rose, cause it rhymes with Moses.
Thank you.
There it is. Moses Supposes Singing in the Rain. We're tapping for Ireland here, you and I. It's Patricia Ward Kelly with me. She is, I don't want to say the word widow, but
I am the widow.
You are the widow. That's what you are, even though it's all those years ago. And yet, you know, you think about this marvellous man and this great talent. And here you sit. Do you ever regret meeting him so late in life for him?
Actually, no. I think in many ways, I met the man in repose, so I think I had him in a
more relaxed sort of a way.
Yeah, he didn't have to prove anything at that point, and it was really a reflective time for him. And so he was able, by the time he met me, he was able to really begin to let his guard down a little bit, and over the years he would release more and more about himself.
But his wife had died. He said he wouldn't marry again.
He swore he would never marry again,
never say never. It's the biography, that's what it is. Get the autobiography out. In terms of his history, and I mean, you mentioned the Irish thing and people not necessarily always being or acting like they were proud of it, maybe in private. But yet, he was not unknown to take a glass of something with Samuel Beckett, which is quite something that people might know. Do you tell stories like that in the One Woman Show?
I do, and I actually have the manuscript that Samuel Beckett gave to Jean for a play in one act with no words in it. And it's signed to Jean Kelly from Samuel Beckett.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And a lot of things like that. Jean used to sing Irish rebel songs with President Kennedy in the White House in the private quarters. He'd sing The Wearing of the Green. And so I have the hat that Jean used to sing the hat me dear old father wore and things. So those are all part of the story. And I think it's a real, I loved it. I did it in his hometown of Pittsburgh. And the headline in the newspaper the next day was, "And We Thought We Knew Jean Kelly." So it's a very intimate program. And I'm finishing the memoir as well. So you'll.
Yes, you're doing that at the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, again, it's another very private, intimate look at him. I mean, this is a guy who spoke French. He spoke Italian. He read a book a day. He read Latin. He spoke Yiddish. He was an economics major. He went on to law school and fortunately dropped out to pursue teaching dance. But he was such a bright man.
Oh, don't say unfortunately, because there's lots of lawyers. He's but what he brought to us and the pleasure he brought. People acknowledge, for instance, Singing in the Rain as the favourite musical of all time. It is, as you know, it's iconic. It is just there and so difficult for anyone to come close in terms of the popularity of this. And it's him. With respect to everybody else in it, it is him.
Well, I think it's amazing that that 62 years later we're still looking at this movie.
Yeah.
And I think it holds up. I mean, Gene always wanted to come back in 100 years. He said, "I'd love to come back and see what people are watching." And I think he'd be very proud of this, that it does have legs. And,
yeah, that it traveled.
But it's like I was traveling with Rita Moreno last year for the 60th anniversary of Singing in the Rain, and she described it as a perfect musical, and I think that's a good way to describe it, because it was such an extraordinary collaborative event. You know, you had the greatest composers, the greatest arrangers, the greatest musicians, and you had this incredible talent. And I think it comes off. And Gene really wanted to be known more as a creator than as a performer.
But was he a hard taskmaster? I mean, he was very diligent about his work, of course, but was he an absolute perfectionist?
Well, he's often described as that. It was funny because he said, I hate being described as that. He said, when did perfectionism become kind of a derogatory term?
Yes,
and
yeah.
He said, when you go to the surgeon, do you ask for the sloppy guy? And I think, so I like to use the word professional, because I think he was exceedingly professional. And one of the things is that particularly the musicians and the technical people really appreciated it, because they knew that this precision was required. I mean, if you don't hit those marks and you don't do everything right, you're not going to be watching that movie.
But the very best people, if you will, are like that, like Sinatra was. It has to be right. If it's not right, then it's not good enough. And therefore, Fred Astaire was the same.
Exactly.
In fairness. Actually, I saw a heading. Did you see this? It was in The Examiner. It says, "Jean Kelly worked her so hard, her feet bled." Did you see this? This is Debbie Reynolds, who has more memorabilia than the town of memorabilia in the planet memorabilia. This woman has buckets of stuff.
Well, she sold it all. It's all been sold.
Oh, it's all gone,
now,
isn't
sadly.
It? Apparently an amazing array of things.
She bought everything out of the MGM sale, and it's all been dispersed now. But yes, Debbie loves to tell the story about all of these things, and that's what they are. They're lovely stories. And The interesting thing is that Gene was actually there, and the production notes reveal everything. So if people's feet were bleeding and doctors are called,
it would be evidence.
Yes. It would have
there may not have been blood, you see. I suspect there wasn't on that basis. Yes, exactly. But somebody working that hard, that's fine. Now, when you come to do the two concerts, you've done this before elsewhere, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, we did the world premiere at Royal Albert Hall in London.
Wow.
And it was extraordinary, but I think this is really special here to do. It'll be the Irish premiere.
Yes.
We have the wonderful conductor, Neil Thompson, and he was doing it with us in London. And I just heard a little bit of the rehearsal, and the sound is just extraordinary.
They're awfully good, aren't they?
They're very good.
The Audioconstructs are awfully good.
It's not an easy thing to play, because this is a different type of music, and it's to get the feeling of it is people play it square and play it straight, and that's not at all what this is. And I just heard it a bit, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. Now, John Wilson did the work, didn't he? John Wilson
yes.
put that together, didn't he, in terms of the MGM work?
Well, sadly, we were talking about how all the costumes had been disposed. MGM also destroyed all of the arrangements and threw them out in 1969. They all became part of a landfill that became the 405 freeway in California. So all of these magnificent orchestrations were just disposed of. And so John Wilson meticulously reconstructed those. Sometimes it would take hours just to do a few bars of music. And one thing that's great about John Wilson is that he had such high regard for the arrangers and for the original that he has reconstructed it with that sound. So what you will hear is as close to what Gene heard standing on that soundstage.
And again, we come to that idea of being meticulous.
Yeah.
And John Wilson is.
Yes.
Because we've had him in here a number of times.
Oh, he's wonderful.
And Angela, who works with the orchestra, has checked his work, and it's absolutely meticulous. I can guarantee you that. There'll be no doubt of that whatsoever. Shall we hear Singing in the Rain? I mean, we're here now. So let's have it. Here it is. The great Gene Kelly and Singing in the Rain.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel. And I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain. Thank you.
Dancing and singing in the rain.
Every time I hear that, I don't know whether it's... I suddenly become a little boy again. It's funny, isn't it? You know, and you a little girl, I'm sure. We all have this moment in time when we go, ah, even though you never saw it.
I think it's so recognisable, and what's great is it's really a universal language. It's those opening eight bars with the vamp, which wasn't in the original. One of the arrangers, Roger Edens, gave that to Gene because he didn't know how to get into the piece. And you hear that all around the world, and it immediately evokes this sense of joy.
But for once it begins, you just feel different. You feel better about yourself, I think, it seems to me. How are your three dogs? You still have three dogs, don't you?
I do.
Look at you. And is your world... People presumably on a daily basis, I suspect, are in touch with you about Gene, are in touch with you about the legacy, which is very important to you, are in touch with you about an event like you're hosting tomorrow night in the concert hall and tomorrow afternoon. I presume that that is a constant now.
It is. It is. And it's a lovely constant. I mean, it's I don't like to look at Gene as dead in 100. I like to look at Gene as cool and still relevant. And when I hear from people come up to me and they say, I love your husband, and you must hear this all the time, and I just never get tired of it. And it was funny, I took the train to Limerick yesterday to see of his old haunts around Pecan and Portreau, and it was really cute. One woman came up to me, and she was in her 80s plus, and she said, he was so handsome. And she used to watch him in the bar, in Kennedy's bar. He would sit at the end of the bar, and she'd come in just to see him. And she said, I would like to have put my shoes under his bed.
Really? She wasn't afraid to admit it even
now. And I said, okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that piece of information. But it is, and that is the thing about him. He remained a very handsome man.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, very handsome man. And when we look back on this, and you're doing Singing in the Rain, are there other films that you might pursue along the same lines, or is it because this is so special that this is the only one that you can really deal with at this level?
No, I think there's now room to do quite a bit. I mean, I think American in Paris, I think it's what's nice is that it introduces audiences to the movies in a new way, and I think anything like that is great. So I'm looking forward to anything that they can come up with.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Whatever John Wilson reconstructs, I'll be there.
Good for you. Well, that's very impressive. Listen, when is the book going to come out? When are you going to have the book?
Gosh, when I stop gallivanting around and chatting with people like you.
Chatting up orchestras, I know.
But I think it's time now to write it. It's taken me quite a few years. People always say, why has it taken you so long to write this book? And number one, it's not like I'm writing about Ernest Hemingway. I'm writing about the man I spent a decade with and loved very dearly. And so it's taken me some time to get the right perspective on it. And I think talking to people, and particularly young people, it's helped me to really understand how to tell that story. And so it's time now, and I can't tell you exactly, but it'll be, I think, sooner rather than later at this point.